online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. There are further fears today that a no-deal Brexit will seriously impact cross-border health services. A serving Irish soldier who faced charges of stealing a total of €3,000 from a Donegal Town pub has had the charges struck out at Donegal Town District Court, and work is set to commence to replace problematic water mains in Fulcara and Gortahork. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the House of Commons is debating how to stop the UK leaving the European Union without a deal. New laws are expected to be passed that would tie the hands of Boris Johnson and prevent a no-deal crash-out. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe has been explaining what's happening.
This law, if passed, would require Boris Johnson to seek an extension to Brexit if he can't get any deal done by October 19th. The British Prime Minister is dead against it and says it would limit his ability to get a deal.
The only thing that's standing in our way is the undermining of those negotiations by this surrender bill, which would lead to more dither and delay.
But Tory rebel Philip Hammond isn't buying that.
Nothing that we are doing here is going to undermine the Prime Minister's ability to negotiate with the European Union. The thing that will undermine it is his unwillingness to pursue a realistic negotiating objective.
A position that Labour's Keir Starmer agrees with.
There aren't any negotiations actually taking place, and therefore we're not closer to a deal now than we were when this Prime Minister took office. In truth, we're further away.
If that law passes tonight, then Boris Johnson plans to seek a snap general election, but he needs Labour votes to do that, and Jeremy Corbyn won't support it until the law preventing no deal is passed. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Meanwhile, there are further fears today that a no-deal Brexit will seriously impact cross-border health services. A letter to HICWA released under a Freedom of Information request from the Secretary-General at the Department of Health, Jim Breslin, warns that a communication strategy must be prepared to mitigate risks in the case of a no-deal scenario. He says it is important that service users are aware of any possible changes to services or procedures. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says the government urgently needs to come out and state their position on the matter.
Large numbers of people from Donegal have crossed the border. These are people who are on the waiting list for a range of procedures, waiting a long time. If they're waiting over 6 months, or even less in some instances, they can cross the border and claim the cost under the European regulations and law. But more seriously than that even is the cancer patients who would be availing of the services in Alt McGavin radiotherapy units. These are things that we need urgent clarification on. We live in a border region. We have 500,000 people in this region. We've been working towards shared health services, that we are not left behind, that people don't have to travel to Galway and Dublin anymore. That's what we want to get to, and we need urgent clarification on this matter from the government.
Is it your opinion that the health sector may be sweeping this potentially very serious issue under the carpet?
Well, I know that there was a conference that was facilitated by Martina Anderson, MEP, about 2 years ago, and there were a number of speakers at that time, and that was the dangers posed to the health service. So, I mean, this has been flagged with the health authorities. I know in the Oireachtas committees, the Department of Health have been asked by my colleague Louise O'Reilly, our health spokesperson, and Sinn Féin. They've been asked what preparations they've been making for Brexit. They've been asked it again and again. And now we have a statement from a senior official, Secretary General, outlining the threats. So, again, this is, deeply worrying.
The full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. In a statement released by SAILCHA today, they say the emergency department at the hospital remains extremely busy this week, with a significant number of ill patients admitted, many of whom remain in the ED awaiting a bed. SAILCHA says all efforts continue to be made to identify patients who are appropriate for discharge, while other actions are underway in the hospital to alleviate the waiting times for patients requiring hospital admission, including additional additional reviews and deferral of elective and non-urgent procedures. People are once again being urged to only attend the emergency department in the case of a real emergency. Hospital management say they regret the inconvenience and distress caused. According to the INMO, there were 39 people awaiting inpatient beds at the hospital this morning. A serving Irish soldier who faced charges of stealing a total of €3,000 from a Donegal Town pub has had the charges struck out at Donegal Town District Court. Under direction from the DPP, the charges have been withdrawn. Donald Kavanagh has more.
22-year-old Francis Mongan of Cullion Boy, Barnesmore, Donegal Town was charged with entering the Coach House Bar, Donegal Town, as a trespasser and stealing €2,000, the property of Gary Pearson, on December 12, 2017, and stealing €1,000 from the same premises on February 9, 2017. The charges were struck out after Sergeant Oliver Devaney told the court the DPP had directed that the charges should be withdrawn. He was also charged with possession of 72 rounds of ammunition without a firearms certificate under the Firearms Act on February 28, 2017, and further charged with assault causing harm at the Abbey Hotel Donegal Town on December 28 last year. The court was told the latter two charges were going ahead. The case has been put back to October 2nd, with the defendant remanded on continuing bail until that date.
Major health and safety concerns have been raised in Remelton after a section of the river wall collapsed overnight. High tides washed away part of the structure last night, leaving a large hole in the wall. There are now fears locally that further high tides could result in more of the wall tumbling out onto the main road, creating a hazard for both residents and motorists. Journalist with the Tyrconnell Tribune, John McAteer, says while the council is monitoring the situation, a long-term solution to protect the structure needs to be looked at.
I think people who live in that area have been concerned about this for 30 years, that wall has been eroding.
Okay.
In fact, the whole structure along the Swilly Estuary there, from the bridge at Remelton right across to the end of the quay, which is about a kilometre, it's supported by a seawall to keep the water out. And there's been concerns about that whole structure because it's a very old, like, probably hundreds of years old, and there's been evidence of erosion. The wall has been bulging, stones have been coming loose, and the point is, at this stage, what happens next? It's a major piece of work on the long term, but in the short term, what's concerning the people, there are people living there in apartments. There is erosion. Obviously, there's erosion. To what extent the road is under threat or how safe it might be for the public? I know that council staff have been out there, they've been put up cones and all this kind of thing. But there's a much, much bigger issue to be dealt with in the coming days as to whether the road should actually be closed or whether it's safe for it to remain open. It's also used by heavy vehicular traffic. It's a road that carries a lot of traffic in the Remelton area. And I suppose it's kind of symptomatic of old towns like Remelton along where you have a large stretch of water, probably hundreds of years old, dating back, and there's been very little work undertaken there, you know.
Work is set to commence to replace problematic water mains in Fulcarra and Gorta Hawk. Irish Water says that the works will reduce high levels of leakage and ensure a more secure supply of drinking water for local residents and businesses who have been affected by frequent bursts and outages. The works will be delivered in two phases, with the Gorta Hawk works commencing on Monday, September the 9th, and the Fulcarra works starting in October. Catherine Gaffney has more.
These works involve the decommissioning and replacement of approximately 1.7 kilometres of old and damaged water pipes in Gortha Hawk and 1.6 kilometres in Fulcarra with modern high-density plastic ones. The works include laying water service connections from the public water main in the road to customers' property boundaries and connecting them to the customers' water supply. Where the existing service connections on the public side are led, these will be replaced as part of the works. The works may involve some short-term water shut-offs, and the project team will ensure the customers are given a minimum of 48 hours' notice prior to any planned shut-offs. Traffic management will be in place in different areas during this time, which may involve local diversions. Local and emergency traffic will be maintained at all times, and the community will be notified in advance by the team. Areas of work will be limited to short sections to minimise impact on customers.
The government insists its legal advice suggests they have the authority to continue to process public services cards. It's set to challenge the Data Protection Commissioner's decision that it is unlawful to force people to get the card to access state services. A report by the DPC also called on the government to delete the data it holds on 3.2 million citizens who have been issued with the cards. Social Protection Minister Regina Doherty is defending the government's decision to challenge the Data Protection Commissioner's findings.
The Attorney General's advice, and we also sought legal external advice just to be absolutely sure. And I think we've taken the last just over 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, to so carefully consider the findings in the report, because we do take the authority of the Data Protection Commission's office extremely serious. But the ramifications of the findings are something that we absolutely do not accept.
A new report suggests a fall in the unemployment rate in Derry and Strabane is a result of firms in Donegal employing cross-border workers. The independent report carried out by Ulster University's Economic Policy Centre shows that the economy in the district is showing positive signs of growth despite uncertainty surrounding Brexit and the absence of an assembly. Senior economist with Derry City and Strabane District Council Michael Gallagher says why the report is positive and no deed scenario would change this dramatically.
Since 2013, our unemployment rate has halved. We have another 6,700 people in employment. So that's a surprise. It continues a trend, but we wouldn't have expected that, as I say, 5 years ago. And that's across a number of sectors, but particularly IT and some around manufacturing and the health sector. I suppose, as with Donegal, the increase of firms such as Primerica, we've large numbers of residents from here that are employed in a number of companies in Donegal, including E&I, and they're of course are coming back here and spending their money here in Derry. So that's boosting retail and other as well.
In terms of this no deal scenario potentially on the horizon, is there a fear that that might impact the figures that are so positive at present?
Well, there's no doubt that a no deal or a disorderly leaving from the EU would have a significant impact right across the region, obviously in particular sectors such as food and agriculture. But Derry City hasn't particularly strong number of businesses in that field, aside from one or two, but they're quite large, like Patrick in Artigarvan, just across the border from Lufford. Of course, will be severely impacted, and the disorderly Brexit, given that they're involved in the production of milk powder and other products, which cross the border a number of times, and that's already been said. The other issue, I suppose, that most people will be aware of is the volatility in currency, which we've seen, which I suppose in the last 5 years.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games, and work doesn't stop for Donegal senior team manager Declan Boner, who's in the thick of making plans for 2020. The clubs of the county have given their full support this week to Declan by offering a year extension, should he want to take it, the following year in 2021. The immediate target for next year is reaching the Super 8s again, while finalising a squad to take on that challenge will be worked on over the coming weeks and months, with a strong eye over the club championships.
They're looking at the club championship now. They're all back in with their clubs, and the championship starts this weekend. But no, listen, I'm hopeful that all those guys are back on board next season. And they'll look at the club championship. And we'll also, as a management, we'll look at what's going on there. And but no, there's definitely still a hunger and a desire left there. And Paddy McGrath, Paddy done his ACL, yeah. And he's having his surgery this week, so Paddy's going to miss probably a fair batch of next season. Probably might be around championship time before we see him back, so we wish him well in his recovery. And Kieran Gillespie will also be back on board, and we'll hope to see him now in action now in the club championship over the next number of weeks. And Owen Vance making good recovery from his broken ankle, so listen, we look forward, as I say, but the work's already started, Oisin.
There is other players in there that have played for Donegal before that decided to step away. Is the door still open to those players? There was one that name comes to mind straight away is Oran McNeillis. Is the door still open for all these guys that were there that weren't part of last year?
Oh yeah, listen, the door's never closed, and any players that are putting their hand up, and as I say, we look at over the next number of weeks in terms of where the club championship's at. And yeah, Oran McNeillis is a player we'd be keen I'm looking at again. Playing intercounty football now, it's a lifestyle choice in terms of going, because it's not just about what you do on the training ground or on match days. It's, you know, how you conduct yourself away from all of that. So it's a huge commitment, and there's no doubt about that there. And a lot of these guys have bought in. We kept the squad. It ended up around about 29, 30 players in the squad last season. It was a very together squad. It was, you know, it was a really, really strong bond within that squad. And as I say, we're hoping that all those players that were involved will be again in 2020, plus a few additions. There's no doubt about that. There will be a few additions.
And you can hear more from Donegal Senior Team Manager Declan Boner by going to the sports section off our website, highlandradio.com. Well, Donegal coach Stephen Rochford believes Dublin will perform better in the All-Ireland final replay than they did in the first game. Jim Gavin's side drew with the Kingdom last Sunday, despite playing the bulk of the match with 14 men. Rochford told the ABGA podcast that the Dubs will get even more out of some of their standout players come the replay.
I think they can have better performances out of Kieran Kilkenny. I think they'll have better performance out of Paul Mannion. I think they can have the better performance out of Brian Fenton. And I think then as well, their defenders were sort of subdued a bit more because of the extra man element and them having to deal with the extra body around the middle of the field when they came into it. So it's still Dublin's now to lose.
In soccer, Seamus Coleman says he and his Republic of Ireland teammates are excited for the Swiss test they face at the Aviva Stadium tomorrow. Mick McCarthy's side head into the game top of Group D with 10 points from a possible 12. Coleman says there's been a buzz in the Irish camp heading into the game.
There's been a few of us that have been around for quite a while now, and then it's always good to get the new faces to come in as well. They're very excited to play for their country, and that bodes well. But we all love coming in. We love playing for our country. We love being around the hotel. We love coming to train and getting back to the hotel. So there's a great feeling amongst the squad, and we fully believe that we can get a result tomorrow night like we always believe. And as I said, really looking forward to it.
Meanwhile, the FAI have appointed top Dutch manager Vera Pauw as the new Republic of Ireland women's boss. She was in attendance in Ireland's opening Euro 2021 qualifying win over Montenegro last night at the Talas Stadium. She led the Dutch to the Euro semi-finals in 2009 and takes up the position with immediate effect. Republic of Ireland underage star Troy Parrott has been included in Spurs UEFA Champions League squad for the season. Last year's finalists have named their 23-man panel, and the 17-year-old Dublin striker has made Mauricio Pochettino's cut. Parrott is Spurs' second choice striker at the moment behind Harry Kane, with Spanish international Fernando Llorente now gone from the club. Kyle Lafferty and Mark Sykes have been called up to the Northern Ireland squad for the friendly with Luxembourg and the qualifier with Germany. It's after Jordan Jones and Michael Smith withdrew with injuries. Manager Michael O'Neill said last week he left Lafferty out of his original squad as he'd done no training for 6 weeks after leaving Rangers. The Ulster and West Cork rallies remain part of the British Rally Championship for next year. The season will get underway with the Cumbrian Rally on February the 8th before travelling to West Cork in March. Trips then to Clacton-on-Sea and April follows, with the Ulster in August and Galloway Hills rounding off the year in September. Both the West Cork and Ulster events will be paired with the Irish Tarmac Championship. Finally, in tennis, there will be no fairy tale Federer-Nadal final at the US Open in New York. The third seed Federer was knocked out of the tournament by Grigor Dimitrov in a five-set quarterfinal thriller at the Arthur Ashe Stadium last night. Rafa Nadal is in action later tonight as he plays Argentinian Diego Schwartzman in the last eight. Tom Comack will have the GA program, as always, on a Wednesday coming up tonight. Throw-in time is at 8:30, while our next sports bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisín. And returning to some news, a public consultation process is underway ahead of the development of government policies for rural Ireland from 2020 to 2025. The public is being urged to complete an online survey to outline the issues that need to be addressed. The government wants to hear from members of the public who live and work in rural Ireland. Minister for Rural and Community Development Michael Ring says face-to-face meetings have already been held.
Some of the issues that came up were job opportunity. Of course, people want to talk about Brexit. Broadband, of course, was the big issue, and people want the broadband, and they want the broadband rolled out. And, you know, it has become lesser of an issue now that the Northern Government are committed to it. But people, you know, feel it's the vital bit of infrastructure that they need.
A Derry councillor has condemned overnight violence in Derry. A suspected pipe bomb exploded outside a house in the Waterside area overnight. No one was injured, but considerable damage was caused to the front door. Meanwhile, in a separate incident, a van was driven into the front door of a house in the Skeg Road area of the city last night. The van was set on fire a short time later in what police have described as a reckless act. Both incidents are under investigation, but councillor Brian Tierney believes they are not connected.
There are lots of good positive work that's going on within the city to tackle violent attacks, to tackle antisocial behaviour, and to tackle all of this stuff, to try and promote our city as a place for people to come. So I don't think we should be trying to portray that this is some type of organised gang or anything like that. These, in my opinion, are all individual incidents, and it's just as the only coincidence that they have around them is that they both happened on the same night.
And finally, a West Tyrone MLA says he will refuse to display a GB sticker on his vehicle after Brexit. It was announced in London earlier this week that all UK cars, including those registered in Northern Ireland, will need to display the sticker while driving in the Republic of Ireland post-Brexit. However, Sinn Féin MLA Melissa McHugh, a frequent visitor to Donegal, says the British authorities have no power to dictate what should be done when driving on Irish roads. He says he will definitely not comply.
I won't put the GB sticker in my car whenever I drive into any part of my country, whether it's in the north of Ireland or in the 26 counties. I know that for a fact that it isn't necessary in the first instance. It's not necessary for insurance, nor is it necessary, we'll say, for any state to actually apply that requirement as well. It's at their own discretion. And I would think it's highly unusual that and very often I'm in the Anagri area in Donegal, and if I was stopped there by a Garda and he asked me to produce a GB sticker in order to verify where it was that it came from or anything else like it, I don't think that's likely to happen.
Is clarity necessary then from the authorities in the Republic just to remove any doubt from this? Because some people may be hearing this story and believing that it is mandatory, when it would appear it isn't.
Well, I know that this is mandatory, and it isn't likely that the government in Dublin are to require that. They may make a statement if one thought that it would help to clarify for others, well and good, you know, but I think it's totally absolutely unnecessary in every respect. That as an Irish citizen, which I am, and whenever I'm driving in my own country, that I should have a sticker saying GB Great Britain, for why? As it'd be like driving around with, say, a Union Jack in your car. No, I choose not to do that.
For weather now, bright and blustery with fresh to strong gusty northwest winds. Frequent showers, a few possibly heavy but gradually dying out. Lowest temperatures tonight of 7 to 9 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, there are further fears today that a no-deal Brexit will seriously impact cross-border health services. A letter to HICWA released under a Freedom of Information request from the Secretary-General of the Department of Health, Jim Breslin, warns that a communication strategy must be prepared to mitigate risks in the case of a no-deal scenario. The full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. In a statement released by SEALTA today, they say the emergency department at the hospital remains extremely busy this week with a significant number of ill patients admitted, many of whom remain in the ED awaiting a bed. Major health and safety concerns have been raised in Remelton after a section of the river wall collapsed overnight. High tides washed away part of the structure last night, leaving a large hole in the wall. And work is set to commence to replace problematic water mains in Fulcarra and Gortahork. Irish Water says that the works will reduce high levels of leakage and ensure a more secure supply of drinking water for local residents and businesses who have been affected by frequent bursts and outages. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 4th of September. The death has taken place of Simon McCrossan, 18, Holly Lane, Derry, and formerly of Carlton Drive, Strabane. Funeral leaving his sister Sheila McCrossan's home at 7 Mineshesk Place, Strabane, on Friday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The house is strictly private, please. The death has taken place of Anna Curley, 16, Abbots Wood, Carndonagh, formerly of Lower Town Mallon. Funeral leaving her home on Friday morning at 10:15, going to St. Columbus Church, Drumquigley's Point, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Mary Elizabeth Doherty, Ailish, Ne Cavanagh, St. Patrick's Road, Buncrana. Her remains will repose at McLaughlin's Funeral Home, Buncrana, with viewing from 6 to 8 this evening, and again from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8 tomorrow evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:30 to St. Mary's Oratory for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. The death has taken place of Sammy Fisher, High Cairn, Remelton. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, for service and cremation at 2 o'clock. Family flowers only, please, donations if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Pat Morris, 42, Bradkeel Road, Blumbridge. Pat's remains are reposing at his late home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. And the death has taken place of Mildred Heron, Meinty Morrigal, Fintown. Mildred's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning in St. Columbkill's Church, Fintown, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. Rosary tonight at 9. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.